Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Menaches Daf Tzadik Gimel. We are holding three lines off the top of the Amid back to the Smicha discussion. So pretty much every carbon, every private carbon, needs to undergo Smicha with the owner. Takes his hands and places it on the head of the carbon, leans bodily on the carbon, right, b'chol koichai, with all his strength, and that's the opportunity to say, to vidui, to confess, and pretty much to transfer your own, you know, to have the animal represent you. That's the purpose of the carbon, to take the behema, the carbon, and use that as a representative of the person, as though the person himself is sacrificing himself and bringing himself closer to Hashem. And that's accomplished. Also by way of the smicha does that sort of transfer, where now the animal represents the person. So the owner is meant to do smicha. What about a yorish? Here, he's a son of, father left over a behema. Now we have a Yerush, inheritor. Does he do smicha? How much is it considered his? How much is he considered the owner of the actual carbon? He has to take care of it, he has to process it. But is he really considered like the original owner? Is he merely like a carryover of the father? Or do we say no? Father is father, son is son. He's no longer around the father, so you can't really do smicha on your father's carbon. The mission says he could. Son is considered a carryover. Hayerish soimech, he will do smicha. The Mishnah continues. Actually, it pertains to another halacha as well. He'll do a tumura. If he chooses to make a swap, you're not supposed to, but if you do the tumura, it works as well. Tani Rav Chananya kamei de Rava. Rav Chananya presented a braisa to Rava where it states just exactly the opposite. No, a Yerish einoi soimech. Yerish einoi meimer. A Yerish does not have that status, like the original owner, like the father, regarding smicha, regarding tmura, amar lei. Sorry, vanat nan. So the Gemara asked, but what about the Mishnah? Yerish soimich, umevis nesach of a meimer. So Rabbi responded, well, the Mishnah says exactly the opposite. Yerish is considered like the actual owner regarding smicha, regarding the fact that he has to bring nesachim, he does a tmura. Amalei, so the Rav Chananya, who presented the opposing view, says, Amalei, if choish, I switch around the version of that braisa, meaning I switch the halacha to make it in line with our Mishnah. Amalei says, no need. There are differing opinions. Says, Lai, Masnisa, your braisa has a different opinion. Mani, who's speaking, Rabbi Yudhi, who says that in fact a Yerush cannot do a smicha on the father's carbon, the son of a braisa, where he clearly articulates his position in opposition to the chachamim who say Yerush can do smicha. He disagrees. The son of Yerush, soimech Yerush meimer. According to the chachamim, Yerush can do both. Rabbi Doimer, no. Yerush ainoi soimech. Yerush ainoi meimer. My time, Rabbi Yudah, why? According to Rabbi Yudah, can Yerush not do smicha? Because we have the word karbanai, which we discussed yesterday. Actually, it says it three times by the Shlomim. And we learn karbanai, it has to be his. He has to be the original owner. We learn karban of it, but he can't do it on his father's karban. And once we know that smicha cannot be performed by a yerush, we all of nahul derive tchilas hegdish, misoif hegdish. Just like smicha was which is at the very end of the life cycle of the karban, it's called soif hegdish, right before the shchita. Just as that cannot be done by a Yerush, likewise, Tchilas Hegdesh, the initiation, in this case we're talking about the Tmura process, which sort of initiates a new Hegdesh, a new carbon, it's a swap, and it's sort of an extension, basically you're initiating a new Hegdesh. We compare one to the other. Ma'asoyf Hegdesh, just like at the end, meaning the Smicha, which we are referring to as Soyf Hegdesh, a Yerush is exempted. Yerush ain't a Soymech, exclude a Yerush from that. After Chilas Hegdesh, likewise, Tmura, Yerush ain't a Meimer, Yerush cannot do that. Rabbanan. They look at it the other way. Look at the Psukim by Tmura, where it uses extra language. Hamer, Yamer. He will make a Tmura, extra language is l'rabbis asayorish to include a yerish on his father's carbon. And now they go the other way. By extension, smicha will apply to a yerish as well. Why? Well, if they learn soif hegdish, mitchilas hegdish, the end from the beginning. Matchilas hegdish, just like tmura, which is considered the beginning in this context, yerish can do meimer, af soif hegdish. Likewise, smicha, which is at the very end of the process, yerish can be soimach. Okay, rabbana now. What do they do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk, which excluded the Yerush? Hai karbonai, the word karbonai, my absolutely, what do they do with it? They apply it elsewhere. You have to be the actual owner. Karbonai b'lo karbon arvut kacham. You can't do it on the guy's carbon. Just because the guy cannot do smicha on his own carbon doesn't allow Yisrael to do it on his behalf. You're not the owner. Karbonai teaches us, the next karbonai says, b'lo karbon chaver, you can't do it on behalf of your friend the Yid either. Perhaps there would be room to think that a guy, since he can't do it on his own, he can do it for him. There's a room to think the other way around. If it's owned by Yisrael, which allows for smicha, if he can't do it, you can do it for him. In any case, the Torah has to rule out both. The actual owner and the owner only. You can't do it on behalf of another yid, another guy. And the third karbanai, it's mentioned three times, right? The rabbi is called Bali Karban L'smicha. It's instructing all the owners to do smicha. So you have a carbon that's jointly owned by many people. Call Bali carbon. Everyone has to do smicha. You can't rely on one on behalf of the rest. Okay? So according to Rabbanan, the three mentionings of the word karbonai have all been used up for different halachas. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, back to Rabbi Yehuda, who already used one karbonai to rule out the Yerush, so he only has two available. How does he know these three halachas? The rabbi is called Bali Karban L'smicha Lesli. He doesn't hold of this third halacha. He holds that if a carbon is jointly owned by many individuals, one can do it on behalf of everybody else. Vinami Islam, even if he holds of the halacha, you can still squeeze all three halachas into the two psukim that are left and available. Why? Because two of these halachas can be learned from the same pasuk. The fact that you cannot do smich on behalf of a goyis carbon, on behalf of a Yisrael carbon, that's basically the same idea. You need the actual owner. So, Oyved Kechav and Bechaber, both those halachis, Michad Kornavka sourced in the same pasuk. So now you have two left over. Vayatrulu, Trey, Kroy, you have two left over. Okay. One is Chad Korbani, one is Veloy Korban Aviv to exclude the Yerush vis a vis his father's carbon. Vidach, the remaining Korbani, Laramois, to obligate all the owners. Call Bali Korban Lesmich. One more question. Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Hamer, Yom, my Avdol. What is it with the Rabbanan's pasuk, which they use to teach that a Yerush can do all these things? It's coming for a different purpose, to enable, to empower a woman to do tamura. Why would I think otherwise? Asanya. Take a look at the pasukim by tamura. It says, lo yachli, he will, lo yomir. It's male tense. How do you include a woman? How do you know a woman has the power to make tamur? Tamalaymar comes to pasuk with the additional language, Hamer Yamer. That extra expression extends it to an Isha as well. V'rabbanan, how do they know the Isha? Darshi mi v'im. Pasuk says, V'im Hamer Yamer. The extra vav is coming to include an Isha. Rabbi Yehuda, V'im, the vav, Leidar, she doesn't dwell on that. Okay, so in conclusion, smicha is performed by the owner and the owner only. You can't do it on behalf of another yid, on behalf of a guy. What about a yerush? According to Rabbanan, the answer is yes. According to Rabbi, the answer is no. Says the Mishnah, call samchen. Everybody has the ability, every owner has the ability to make smicha, except if one doesn't really have proper deya, proper intelligence. Chutz mecheresh, deaf mute, shoyta, deranged, v'katan, a minor. V'suma, even a blind man is excluded. Why? We'll see in the Gemara. But kechav megoy as well. V'evet, you can't have your slave do it on your behalf. V'ashlich, or to ask a fellow yid to do it on your behalf. V'isha, a woman cannot do smicha, whether she's the owner or doing it on behalf of the husband. Continues the mission of smicha. This procedure is really shiari mitzvah. It's a secondary element within the process. It's not really primary. It's not critical to the process, but it is important. We are on the animal of smicha, not al roish, on the head, bebeid yadayim, using both hands. Where did you do smicha? On the base of Hamikdash, in the same spot, in the same location as they're going to do the shechita momentarily, and the reason is because it's one following the next. We don't want interruptions, but take a l'smicha shchita. The shchita follows immediately. Immediately follows the smicha without interruption. It's like one continuing. Says the Gemara, Brishla mecher shaiti v'kata. I understand why those three individuals are not able to do smicha. They don't have proper intelligence. Even a guy is excluded. The pasuk says bnei Yisrael will do smicha. A guy is not allowed. Elosum, my time alay. What's wrong with a blind man? Rav Chizda, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dimi. There are two ways to understand. There's two sources. Chadama one. Source did as follows. Asa, we learned smicha. We learned the halacha of smicha by regular carbon. From where? From the smicha mezikne eda. That's that by the par helam davar shel tzibur, which we discussed yesterday, where the zikne eda, the elders, the sanhedrin, will come to smicha. We compare it to that type of smicha. And as Rashi explained, just like over there, we know there were no blind people involved, because in the sanhedrin, we needed unblemished people, judges. So just as over there, they were not blind. Likewise, every smicha involves only that type of person. V'chadam, the other one sourced it as follows. Aser, we learned smicha. We learned the halacha of the smicha bayas from smicha me'ilas re'iya, which is the oila that a person brings when he visits the Beis Hamikdash, right? It's an oila re'iya. And we learn exer shava, smicha here, smicha there. And just like over there, a summa was exempted, as she brings, that person has to have fully functioning eyesight to be chayiv and visiting the Beis HaMikdash and bringing the carbon. Hence we know that every smicha would not apply to a blind man. Ask the Gemara, so why did each one of these choose his source over the other one? The one that chose Oilas Riyah, my time Oilas Riyah, why doesn't he learn from the Zikne Eda? We turn to Amud Beis. The answer is it's a different type of carbon. Don and Yachad Miyachad, he prefers learning a private carbon from another private carbon, as opposed to learning from a public carbon, which is a different type of circumstance. Being Don and Yachad, we don't learn a private carbon, we see from a public carbon. Okay, Ulamanda Amud, the Yolof Mizikne Eda, the one that chose, that prefers Zikne Eda, why did he choose that over this? My time Elo Yolof Melisri, why didn't he go to Elisri? Don and Midi Dechsibe Smicha Migufe, we prefer clarifying and elaborating specifics of the smicha procedure in a carbon where smicha is actually stated, right, which is like a shlamim, right, where the smicha is mentioned, and we'll go to another similar phenomenon which also discusses smicha on site. Immediately from another carbon, where smicha is mentioned on site, lafuke, which is the parallel davar, where smicha is actually expressed. Lafuke, as opposed to going to oilas re'iya, where the interesting thing is that there's no smicha mentioned on site there. So how do we know that oilas re'iya has smicha? Because he comes from a different place. He imports that information from a different oila. The gufa, because he in itself, ma'oilas and davar gomer, learns from a voluntary oila. Just as there's smicha by a voluntary oila, there's smicha by a obligatory oila. And then we're going to take that and import it to us. That's a bit too far. The Tani Tanakh made the Rabbi Zohar Abba. There was a chacham that presented a brisa in front of Rabbi Zohar Abba and provided a source for smicha by a oila schoiva. So you have an example of oila schoiva in the Mishkan, by the Miluim, where Aaron HaKohen brought the oila by Akaris HaOila. He processed it. He did it kamishpa, the way it's meant to be. Now, what does that mean, the way it's meant to be? Kamishpa to oilas nedava. It's meant to model the process of a voluntary oila. Just as there's smicha there, there's smicha here. And Lima, this teaches us, al oilas choyva shtuna smicha, that smicha applies to an oilas choyva as well as an oilas nedava. So now we know that oilas ria, which is an oilas choyva, requires smicha, and then we'll have to bring that over to a regular carbon like a shlava. That's too far. He prefers a more direct route. And therefore, he prefers sourcing it in the halacha of the Paralam Davar, where smicha is actually explicitly stated on site. Ve'eved, v'shliach v'isha, a person can't have a slave, a shliach, a woman, do smicha on his behalf. Tan Rabbanan, why? Yadai. Pasuk mentions Yadai many times. By the Karvan Shlomim, actually three times, and we learn that it has to be personal. He has to use his hands rather than doing a shliach. Yodei v'lo yad avdei, not his slave. Yodei his hands. V'lo yad shluchei, a regular shliach. Yodei v'lo yad ishtei. So not only is an ish exempt from her own smicha, her own carbon, she can't even do it on behalf of her husband. Kol hanei lamali, why does the Torah have to you know, express all these exclusions. I mean, once you say it has to be you, of course, we understand, not the Eved, not the Shliach. The answer is each one has its own lesson, Sricha. Because Rachman Achad, if the Torah only mentioned Yodai once, Havamina would say, Lumutei Yevet, okay, you can't use a slave, because a slave is not really on the same level as a regular Yisrael, the La Bar Mitzvah. It's not Bar Mitzvah. Aval Shlech Bar Mitzvah, if you use a fellow Jew who's a Bar Mitzvah, we know that generally you can use an agent to do a Mitzvah for you. Perhaps this is no different. Maybe he can do it for you. No, the answer is he can't. Hey, no, the Mefarshim asks, so why not? I mean, how does that fit with the general formula of Shiluchei Shaladim Kemoise? Typically, you can have somebody do an act, a mitzvah, a transaction on your behalf. The answer is, yeah, that's when the point is to have something accomplished, have something done. But when it's something which is personal, like a mitzvah shebegufay, like tefillin, you can't have somebody put tefillin on your behalf. And here as well, once the Torah says, Yada, you got to use your hands. It's your hand. You can't have somebody do this for you. He can't take his hand and have it as though it's your hand. It's his hand, not yours. Right? Torah requires this specific limb, this specific part of your body to be involved in this ma'isa. You can't have somebody do it for you. Okay, so that's what we know from these psukim. And then finally, the I Ashmina Nitarti. Had the Torah only mentioned no Eved, no Shliach, yeah, the Lavka Gufei Dami, because these are random people, not really considered your Guf, Aval Ishte, but your own wife, the Gufei Dami, which has a status of your Guf, Ema Tismich, perhaps she can do Smich on your behalf. Perhaps it does qualify as Yadai. Tzricha, no. Says the Torah, it has to be you and only you. Smicha Shiara Mitzvah. As important as Smicha is, it's Shiara Mitzvah, it's secondary. But the Pasuk seems to say, Vesamach v'nirtza, smicha makes ritzi, makes it come be accepted. And the question is, really? We always learn that the blood, the dam, and the mizbech, that's what accomplishes atonement and kapara and ritzi and acceptance. V'chi smicha mechaperes, really, the smicha does the kapara, but in kapara with dam. The dam is what makes the kapara. Shanam, we have a Pasuk. Ki adam hu b'nefesh yechaper, the dam makes kapara. El olam lach, the Pasuk here is teaching us a lesson. Sending us a message. True, technically the dam is what makes it happen, but don't disregard, don't neglect the smicha. Don't treat it as something unimportant. If he considers smicha shiara mitzvah, just leftovers, and he disregarded, he didn't do it. Malala, the Torah considers as though he missed out. He missed out the main kapara. Kilo kipar, as if he didn't get kapara. Although technically the kipar, he did accomplish kapara, but he's lacking. It's missing. It could have gone higher. V'tanya gabi tenufa gai gabi. We have the same discussion by tenufa, the act of waving back and forth, which is a mitzvah meant to be done with a carbon. The tenufa l'chaper. Again, the pasuk ties tenufa to kapara, and the question is, really? V'chi tenufa mechaperes. Tenufa is what generates kapara. V'alai in kapara l'vadam. Dam generates kapara. Shenemar. As the pasuk says, ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. Again, the message is, it's important. Elam lach, the pasuk is teaching us, shim osel tenufa shi'ar mitzvah. He considered tenufa like leftover. He disregarded it. Considers, oh, he missed out on the kapara, although technically the keeper on a minimal level he did do kapara, but he's missing out on the complete kapara. Alarish, where do we do smicha on the animal? On the head. So the pasuk mentions roish many times, and this teaches us exactly precisely where to do the smicha on the animal. Yodoy ala roish, tell just for yodoy ala tzavar, not on the neck, on the front. It has to be on the back, so you have the animal, right, on its four legs. You have the back, which leads up to the head. So the smicha takes place on the back, on the top of the head, ala reish, not on the neck below. The next pasuk, yod ala reish, teaches us, v'lo yod ala gabayim, not on the back. Yod ala reish tells us, v'lo yod ala chazin, on the chest area. Kol hani lamli, why all this repetition? Just say it once, and we know where, tzrichi, there's a lesson in each one. Likos rachman achad. The Torah only say it one time. I would say, yeah, not the neck. Tilei kayiv adi reish, because it's not the same plain as the head, it's in the front and the bottom. Avol gabi, but on the back, the koyla, the ratio, which is on the same line as the head, the emoloi, perhaps that's okay, tzricha, no, you can't do it there either. V'yashvin and hanitati, the Torah only rule out these two locations, shenloi is rabbi l'tnufa, because these locations have nothing unique, they're not involved in the tnufa, so that's why they're not involved in smicha as well. Avol chaza, but the chest area, this rabbi l'tnufa, because by ishlam, you take the chaza after the shechita, you do tnufa, so perhaps because of its uniqueness, it would qualify for smicha as well. Emoloi tzricha comes to pasuk and says, no, on the head and the head only. What if you do it on the head, but on the side of the head? Tashma answers, it doesn't work. The Tanya, Avabiro, Rabbi Elazar, and Yaakov Aimer, Yodala Roshe means on the back of the head, literally, Velo Yodala Tzav, not on the sides. But Yerom, you have a question regarding Chatzitza. How direct do you have to do Smicha? Matlis, you have a piece of material between your hands and the head. Mal Shatachais, does that pose a barrier? Do you have to actually touch the animal? Tashma, yep, Ubovad, provided. Can't have anything between your hands. Your skin has to actually touch the zevach. As we said before, it has to be a direct personal transfer. Both hands are needed. You can't use one hand. How do we know? Look at the pasuk. I'm a krah. This is back in the miluim. He took both yadav. Now it's spelled yud dalad vav, which could be read yadai, singular, one hand. Although we read it yadav, but it's spelled yadai, and that has hit a meaning to it. There's a lesson to it. Look, ksiv yadai, in its spelling, it sounds like it's one hand, yadai, singular. But then the pasuk uses the word, the number two, right next to it, uksiv shtei. What does this teach us? Zebonav, this is an example for us. Kol makam shnema yadai, wherever we have the word yadai, don't think it's one hand. In this context, one hand means both hands. It's a pair of hands, like, you know, give me a hand, right? I don't mean just one hand. It means, right? So here is what by smicha. Since it's spelled as yadai as single, and it's next to the word shtei, to tell us that even yadai, which sounds like singular, when it comes to smicha, it means both hands. Harukenstein. Unless the Torah specified otherwise. Shifad ha'kos of achas. Until the Torah specifies that it's one, we assume it's two. Now, Ozer Belozer, Belozer heard this interesting source from Rish Lakish, and he went and he broadcasted in the Beis Medrash, in the Yeshiva, Amar Lo Shmati, he relayed this concept, maybe the Rosh and Beis Medrash, without attributing it to the source, without mentioning Rish Lakish by name. Bolei Amro, Mishmei de Rish Lakish. Shomer Rish Lakish heard what happened. Vikpid, he was dissatisfied, disappointed, because it's very important that the words of Torah be related to their source. It gives the initiator a zchus, right? So he turned to Rabbi Elazar, a bit disappointed, but he was going to try and make a point. He says, look, the hidden message was you have to attribute it to the source. It's important, because let's say you need further elaboration, you need clarity. So he's good to know who said what, everything, right? So he challenged him, sort of show him they didn't really understand. Rabbi Elazar didn't really internalize what he had in mind. If it's true what you're saying, whenever it says yadai, it means really two. So I have a question. Look throughout the Torah, you find many times it says yadav. Plural, why? Just say yadai for the same money. It also means two. Lamali. Limichtav yadav yadav. Why does the Torah repeat yadav yadav so many times? And he found no less than 24 examples. Actually, Esther Medal Yadav, he found 24 examples of yadav. Yadav Tiviyana. Yadav Rav Loi. Yisikil Es Yadav. Yaakovino, right? So Blazer was stumped. Ishtik. Lebasa Nachdati. After Rish Lakish. Was at ease. Amalei. He turned around and he explained to him. He says, let me explain to you what exactly I had in mind. My timely, you could have told me like this. Yadav the smicha ka'amri. We're talking about the word yadav by smicha. This rule only applies to the word yadav discussed in a smicha context. But elsewhere, yadav means one-handed. If you want to say two, you have to say yadav. What do you mean? V'smicha namiks, even by smicha we find a pasuk. V'yismichas yadav ala v'yitzaveyu. This was Meshua Benu. That smicha, physically, he did smicha on Yeshua's head. As a way of transferring the authority over to Yeshua, it says Yadav. And according to Yerush Lakish, by Smicha, it merely has to say Yadai, and it already means two. No, Smicha the Beim Kamri, I was referring to Smicha regarding an animal, a different type of Smicha. So Smicha on the animal is similar to Smicha on a person, but it's a little bit different, right? So we're talking about Smicha of a carbon. There we have from the Pasuk, where it says Shtei Yadai, that we learn that Yadai means two. Hence, by smicha, even though it only says v'samach yadai, yadai means a pair of hands. The Mishnah concluded, u'b'makay shesayimch and shayichten, take it v'smicha shchita. My kama, what is the Mishnah saying? Hachi kama, it's one continuous sentence. It's one point. So the question was, why are the two things connected? Rashi explains, actually, he says, what's the point of repeating ourselves? Once it says that smicha and shchita are close proximity, time-wise, it's one follows the next. And of course, you have to do the smicha where you're going to do the shechita. So that's more exactly, that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. It's just explaining itself. The Mishnah means like this. You do the smicha where you do the shechita, right? Right? In the same, you know, place in the Azara. Why? Should take a smicha shechita. Because one leads to the next. You can't have time in between. And that's why, make sure to do the smicha in the same location in the Beis HaMikdash where you're about to do the shechita, so there's no hefsek. Okay, so conclusion. We learned about everybody being able to do smicha except for Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan, Suma. We have two sources, a goy, Eved Shliach V'Isha can't do on your behalf. Although smicha and likewise tufa are not really critical to the process, but they're important and they elevate the kapara status of the karbon. We learned that the smicha takes place ala roish only without chatzitza, using both hands. All the best to you, Natzlacha Rav.